Welcome to a new episode of Single Player. This is the bonus and companion podcast to Pixels and Polygons. So if you are a supporter through my Patreon page, thank you so much. This show is for you. If you're listening to this for free on the main Pixels and Polygons feed, this is something that you can get weekly. If you head over to my Patreon page, you can find the link in the show notes below. You can also follow along for free there, see a bunch of original writing, essays, and articles that I've created, all under the same like gaming and retro gaming umbrella that I have been creating for myself. But thank you for checking it out. Thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting if you are a backer. This week's episode, I wanted to talk about E3. Just some of my personal memories and what my experience was like attending those shows. So E3, or the Electronic Entertainment Expo, was a big premier event, mostly at the convention center in downtown LA, though some mid-90s years it relocated to Atlanta before it kind of came back just from some scheduling conflicts. It downscaled into a media and business summit in 2007-2008. Before it kind of came back into its older form and then expanded again into allowing like the public in. But from there, the companies like EA and Sony slowly kind of dropped out, and eventually things like COVID caused it to be delayed and ultimately now has been canceled, and E3 is no longer a thing that happens. But for me, growing up reading gaming magazines, you know, whether that was flipping through like the late summer issues of EGM, GamePro, or you know, whatever it was that, you know, I was reading at the time, I would often pick up, you know, those issues, much like the fall and winter issues, like the November, December issues, always just thick with extra pages and tons of content. But the E3 issues were always awesome to see, just because that's where all of the publishers and developers came together to have a giant event just filled with over investments in like production values of like promotional materials and booths and demo kiosks and things to promote upcoming games. Media and journalists, developers, like those folks were all invited to attend. It was not open to the public, and it was a way for them to kind of all be together for a weekend or a week of interviews and behind the scenes look, show floor looks, just to kind of promote upcoming content and games. And so it was great for small time publishers and developers to share like the floor with some of the bigger stuff that was like, you know, known quantities, and like the console producers like Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo, having the opportunity to like be alongside them, just kind of let all games of all sizes just kind of be announced and officially unveiled to the world. And a lot of places, you know, had the opportunity to get your hands on with the actual games in advance. So it was just a great giant media event to preview upcoming projects. And so as a kid, it was something I always wanted to attend and never thought I'd be able to, but eventually I was able to attend in person, and it was just as exciting and wonderful as I thought it would be based on really grainy pictures from magazines in the late 90s. But I just wanted to dive in and touch on some of the years and some of the memories that I've had of attending some of the E3s. So I'll start in the beginning in 2002. I will note I didn't personally attend this year, but my brother, who's a real resourceful person and always knows somebody or knows somebody who knows somebody, as a college kid, he was able to – I was still in high school, potentially even – what year is this, 2002? Yeah, that was high school. So I definitely wasn't 18 or older like you needed to be to attend or anything, but – he was. He knew somebody who got him a badge and somehow had some industry credentials to like loan or steal or borrow or whatever it may be. And he got to attend. So I was just super jealous of him, but also just super excited that like somebody that I knew was going to be able to be there. And he did the rounds and, you know, hit the show floor and enjoyed, you know, his own time there. But he knew obviously I was back at home waiting for him to arrive to bring back some like cool freebies and some swag and stuff like that. So he ended up bringing home a PlayStation bag. It was just like a plastic bag with a black square and the PlayStation logo on it. But inside, just a bunch of like pamphlets and booklets and promotional cards for upcoming games, like keychains and lanyards and trinkets and things like that. And that year, there were even some demo discs. That was the PS2 era. So there were some like Sly Cooper demos and a few others. I don't remember what else it was, but it was definitely the easy way to promote and, you know, get your content out there for from a developer standpoint. But I kept that bag for a long time. I don't think I still have it. I was going to say, I have a lot of like junk in some nostalgic boxes of things, like a little time capsule of things. I may not still have that though. But that was 2002, and that was the earliest glimpse that I had at being available to like actually be close in proximity to somebody attending E3 beyond just as a fan, which was really awesome. The next opportunity that I would have was in 2005. This was, again, thanks to my brother being resourceful and knowing folks. This would have been, you know, post-high school age for me, so I was 18 or 19 at this time, but my brother knew somebody who worked. I mean, the story of I've always remember being told was that he knew somebody who worked for the company that actually printed the badges and lanyards, or, you know, organized that for all of the industry folks at E3. So the person was able to print like some fake names, like some really, you know, bizarre international sounding names on some badges that were not real people. And they did print that the company that we worked for was Blizzard Entertainment, which, you know, they're from Irvine, Southern California and all that stuff. And being a larger company, I think maybe, you know, maybe that was just the template or the last company that was used that was being printed on. Like, I have no idea, but I just remember he got a couple of badges and we were able to go down there in person with these and actually get in on the floor. I think he was able to arrange it in a way. We had a couple of them, but I believe we had to actually walk in, get on the show floor, and then take off the badge and then go outside. The people with badges still on would take the badge in their pocket outside and give it to somebody else in our group and then walk back in. And the security was never really super like diligent to like police the floor. They were just at like the entrances to only allow industry folks into the main show floor just by ensuring that you were wearing a lanyard and that you didn't look like you were standing out or awkward. So, if you ever snuck into a place, you know, just look for the easy, you know, like tells, you know, somebody who really doesn't want to be doing their job or is lackadaisically just watching people walk by and not necessarily paying too much attention. And then you wait for a group to come by and you just kind of wander in with the group and you just sneak right in. So we were able to do that. I just remember there being a certain like worry that, you know, if we were to leave or walk out, you know, we may not be able to get back in and all that stuff. So it was just a 1 day visit in 2005, but that was a great year because that was the year the PS3 was first unveiled and everything. So that's on the floor. They had like a little prototype of it with the infamous boomerang controller that you can kind of see. I've got a photo of the, you know, outside like banner with like the partially filled in like PlayStation icons saying, you know, welcome change with a red 3 for change, which, you know, is kind of like a play on there. You are not ready. Campaign from years before, but yeah, that was cool. That was just a 1 day trip though, like I said, and that was my first experience. So it was absolutely everything I wanted it to be and more, you know, being able to just play those games in advance and just be in my element and everything. Like that was, super rad. The very next year I got to go again, but this time like through official channels, like the old job that I had, you know, actually let me get credentials to register myself, and I was able to attend every day. So not just a 1 day trip, but in 2006 I went every day and was able to really just kind of be present and absorb like all the games and just kind of like dive in. Whatever type of digital camera I had at the time, I was able to take a few photos. I was growing my hair out, so I was wearing this beanie to keep my hair flat, and it was just it was just weird. But this is a big year. The Wii was revealed officially. It was not the codename Revolution or anything. It was announced a few days prior as the Wii, and people were kind of weirded out about that, if it was, you know, genuinely going to be the name. So it was kind of awkwardly received. But once people saw it and they saw the controller for the first time and were playing it in person, like, that definitely was like the big thing of that E3. The DS Lite was also announced. They kind of redesigned and slimlined, you know, their DS, and they were giving away like a DS Lite carrying case. And I remember there was like a long line to like play some DS games to get that and everything. And I think I played the games I wanted to play, but you had to like play all of these games in order to get like this little freebie DS Lite case. It was like a cool little zip up, like white and black case. And, I eventually just, you know, found like Nintendo workers and were showing off my, like Nintendo tattoos. I have like a Mario and Luigi tattoo. So just showed that off and managed to get, like just given the Nintendo stuff, you know, for free without having to like wait in line or anything for it. And I ended up using that case for my DS for years, which, you know, it was a really cool case. It's interesting that they just gave it away, but, they got that Nintendo money, you know, so they can do that. That year also, you know, the PS3 didn't have the Boomerang controller. That's where it was officially shown off as well, because that fall is when it was released. There's a lot of Metal Gear content as well, with Portable Ops being announced for the PSP. And there's just a lot of stuff that I was interested in as a fan. So being able to walk around and see all that on the floor, like, I was just completely, again, in my element and a fan of everything that was going on. The E3, you know, typical process, they have, again, it's an industry journalist and, you know, media event, you know, invite only, with, you know, you had to have credentials. There were still, you know, 40 to 50,000 attendees. I think their peak at that time maybe was 60,000 or close to that. I think it was less than that, but so there's a lot of people, but not a lot of people, if that makes sense. But they would have a like a newsletter, like it was like a magazine periodical thing that was out and available in the lobbies, called the E3 Show Daily. Every day they'd put out a new one. And so, you know, I would take all of those, but they were just written and designed for folks to be able to kind of recap what was talked about and shown off and discussed those days. They were obviously printed in advance to be ready, but they had a designed, you know, they were there for people who were maybe in meetings and couldn't necessarily get to the show floor themselves, but be able to kind of read about some of the announcements, get some details, and that stuff would be repurposed into, whether you were a writer for a games magazine or an online source, you know, that was obviously a thing. That is what those were for. And so I just remember taking a few of those just for souvenir reasons. But Konami had a, like, obviously like a Kojima eccentric one printed up that was a promotional thing that was called the Show Maybe instead of the Show Daily. And inside of it was all just like the Kojima and Konami like product announcements and things like that they had. So there were things like, it was either Lunar Knights or Boktai, like one of that series of games, you know, had some coverage inside. The Metal Gear, like PSP, like Portable Ops game was covered inside. I think Zone of the Enders coverage inside of it. And then they're promoting, obviously, the podcast. There was a Kojima Productions podcast, so it was a super old one of the original podcasts, you know, before it kind of blown up to what it is today. But I got that as a souvenir. I think Metal Gear Rising, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I think it was either Metal Gear Solid 4 or Metal Gear Rising was also inside of it. But I took some of those myself for souvenirs, and I still have those. And I do intend to get those to like some type of video game archive or the Video Game History Foundation or the Video Game Library, just to kind of make sure that they're like scanned and preserved and everything. I've searched online before and I've seen people like asking and requesting like scans and pages from them. So, I definitely, you know, knowing that I have it and wanting to make sure it's taken care of, I want to get it to one of those sources. So one of these days I'll get around to contacting those folks and shipping it to one of them just to make sure that happens. But yeah, 2006 was awesome. Just being able to be present officially and going all the days, I had a lot of great memories of, you know, being able to kind of explore all that. And again, it's all stuff that was going to come out and be officially released later, but just the idea of being able to play it early and get a first look at some of these things, like, that's just, you know, makes, that's what makes me tick. Like, I love that stuff. Like, that's why I love going to, you know, Comic-Con and big conventions to this day still. The next year, I wanted to highlight 2009. So after 2006, I think 2007, 2008 is when they did their, they like downscaled and did like a really, it wasn't even at the convention center. It was in like Santa Monica or was somewhere in, you know, the LA area, but it was really downscale with no big booths and stuff like that. It was all just kind of like meetings and appointments to like interview and talk to the publishers who were in attendance and see things kind of behind closed doors. But 2009 was the return to the LA Convention Center and was a big kind of return to form, quote unquote, for E3. So again, I got to go there in official capacity. I was officially, you know, there for all the days. That also, in combination of being able to attend, Sony has done things over the years, like the PlayStation Underground and all these various like kind of like fan things. You can have like a profile on their page and list like what your favorite games were. I've always been pretty consistent to, you know, keep those things updated and stay active to sign into it and everything. And so just from one of those weird outlets, I was able to get an invite to their pre-E3 like press event. Those were where they like, that's where they like officially revealed and showed things off for the first time there. And then you, once the doors opened to the show floor, that's where you can get your hands on and play them personally. But the actual unveiling, you know, those would happen, like companies would have their like pre E3 and like E3, like launch day events, like before the show floor opened. So that year I got an invite to be at the Sony event. I think it was at the Shrine in downtown LA. Maybe it was a different like theater or venue, but it was really cool. I remember being there and I think I walked in to like get into my seat and just kind of be there. I think I walked in behind like Jeff Gertzman from GameSpot, you know, who now like Giant Bomb and, you know, beyond. He's just a big industry personality that people know. But I remember just being behind him and like, I'm just that type of person, like, you know, seeing people and recognizing and knowing who they are, just being as weird of a fan as I am of just video games and knowing that stuff. Like, I just, that stood out to me and I enjoyed it. And so, at this show, I got to see like the announcement and the unveiling of like gameplay for Uncharted 2. And there was a really cool sequence where like, it was one of the set piece moments where like the buildings were like kind of crumbling and falling down as you were kind of jumping through rooftop to rooftop and then like through some of the floors, like through like all the chaos and everything. And it was like a really cool showcase of like the PS3's like power and potential and a significant improvement over the original Uncharted, you know, that's like definitely where like the game got its like identity to what it is, you know, now. But being able to be there, like in sitting in that theater and all that stuff and to watch that stuff was really cool. A lot of cool games were announced that day, and shown off and everything. There was, the Final Fantasy VII PS1 Classic, was announced, and it was like stealth released like that day. It was like, hey, this is coming to, you know, be downloadable on the PlayStation Network starting today. I remember like wishing that I was just, you know, at home at least to like pay for it and download it so it'd be ready by the time I got home to start playing it again. And I thought it was just odd to like have to be like announce that to all these people who are obviously not around or near their home consoles to be able to try it out, but a benefit of people who are, you know, at home or reading, you know, from afar. But that was always an interesting thing. And then another memory of 2009, the PlayStation 3, like on their little PlayStation Network store, they had some videos called Pulse where they'd occasionally like have like trailers and like little sizzle reels of upcoming things. And it was just like a media like promotional thing. They've done different versions of that, like their core and, you know, other things just beyond just downloadable games. But they had recaps of E3 and of like the daily events for what was going on the show floor. And that year, I was interested in the game, but I stood in line to play MAG, which was, you know, massive action game. It's a 128 player online first person shooter. I was already, you know, interested in checking it out and everything, but that was playable and I had to stand in a line to do that. But they were filming people and interviewing them afterwards. And so in that Pulse video that you can download on your PlayStation, I took a screenshot of the screen with like the timestamp where you can see me like, you know, front and center, like playing the game. And they pulled me aside and asked me questions after getting done playing it. And, you know, I shared what I thought. I remember like there were people who were just, like, this was their first exposure to it, and this was their first chance playing it, and they didn't really know much about it, but they would, like, falsely kind of, like, gush about how it's, like, an amazing game and all that stuff, and I remember I just didn't want to be that person, so I didn't, like, dunk on the game or say anything negative about it, but I just wanted to make sure I was specifically speaking about what I briefly played and was excited by and hoped to see more of when the game was ultimately launched. But I think they used like the soundbite of it and everything on that video. But I thought that was really cool that I was part of some, you know, PlayStation content officially on downloadable on all. Anybody could download it and see it and see me and everything. And then last awkward story for the 2009 E3 was walking through the PlayStation booth, you know, playing some games, and they had this really cool, like, two-tiered, like, setup. They had all the floor-level stuff was free to walk around, you know. You didn't have to have, like, any specific, like, you know, access or badge or anything like that at all, just, you know, industry credentials for everyone who was there. But there was a staircase that would take you upstairs to these, like, upper cubes, and it was all, like, basically a by appointment only for industry folks, where they got, like, hands-on with, like, developers and important folks to be able to interview and, like, see it, and that's where most of your, like, gaming outlets and all that stuff got their coverage from, was being a part of those appointments. But, like, as I was walking through, I noticed a guy walking towards the staircase to go upstairs and do some type of interview or event or something. But it was Jason Sudeikis, and, I mean, this is 2009. This is well before Ted Lasso and all of his other, you know, fame. And I, you know, obviously seeing a celebrity like in person, you know, you get a photo with him or something, like that was in my brain. Like, oh, I should, you know, I call his name and ask you to get a photo with him. Awkwardly, like I didn't really want to go through the motions of doing that, but you know, I figured I'm there, I should take advantage of it. So half-heartedly kind of called out his name, you know. I remember like specifically thinking like, hey, if he doesn't hear me, he doesn't turn around, at least I tried, I saw him, like, you know, and that's good enough for, you know, for me. But, you know, like, fortunately / unfortunately, he did hear me call out his name. And so then I had to have this awkward introduction of like, hey, you don't know me, I'm just some random guy. You know, I'm telling you I'm a fan, shaking your hand, whatever it may be, and then asking for the photo. And then the photo that I got with him, like, we're both like clearly half smiling and maybe not wanting to be present with either one, you know. It was just it's just a really fun, like, awkward photo with Jason Sudeikis. So I don't know what he was doing there. I never saw like later videos or coverage or anything, you know. I obviously watching like late night shows and stuff, like I'd assumed he was maybe doing something for Jimmy Fallon or maybe something like that would pop up on one of those shows, and I never did. So I should be trying to just Google Jason Sudeikis E3 and see if some video content comes up. But if there is, right before he's doing whatever he's doing, he's awkwardly taking a photo with me as an awkward fan right before that moment. But yeah, E3 2009 was fun. That was one of the big years for me, you know, just getting to go like multiple days and everything again. I may have gone like as like a 1 day trip or something on the next couple of years, maybe. I don't have like any photos like on hand or anything, so I can't say for certain. But 2012, I do have a picture of it, and I know that was my last year to go through an E3. That was the year the Wii U was like really like unveiled and shown off and all that stuff. And so they're kind of demoing some of that stuff, but at their pre E3 event, like showcasing, you know, exactly what the Wii U was going to be. So that was a bigger year from like a speculation standpoint of what, you know, would this be, and would this be a big follow-up to the Wii? And, we didn't really know much beyond that, but, the Sony event, I was able to also attend again, and much like the Uncharted event from, you know, a few years prior to that, Naughty Dog did a live demo of The Last of Us. So this was big because obviously they had been working on Uncharted games back to back, you know, at this point. So being able to have, see like something original, a lot more like darker and mature and everything. Not that the Uncharted games were immature or anything, but obviously they had this, you know, movie-esque and blockbuster-esque kind of feel to them. This was definitely just a lot more, you know, deeper and darker and sadder, you know, just from a content standpoint. But having that shown off as a live demo was really cool to kind of see that in person. And those are, you know, those two games are big games for me. I love both of them. But yeah, that year was more the same. I think maybe I was only able to go that day, just one day. I have a photo of me sticking my head inside of Pac-Man's mouth. It was like this giant like Pac-Man kind of on display out of the Namco Bandai booth. I may have other photos, but that's just one that's just kind of, you know, survived in my camera roll or, you know, on social media and all that stuff that I still have. But it was really fun. Just E3 in general, it was always great to just kind of be present at and be able to kind of participate and see those things. Like beyond that, like it was a couple of years later that the E3s would kind of like disappear and kind of from what they used to be. I know that I want to say like the next year, like Nintendo stopped having their like stage presentations and their pre E3 events, and they started like using their pre-recorded things. Like obviously that would evolve into their Nintendo Directs that they do now. And then another year or two later, Sony would stop attending in person themselves. EA had also stopped attending. So it definitely was taking on like a new form, with, you know, different companies like filling the voids and kind of having their own like exposure on the floor. They would also try to create more excitement and interest in it by opening like some of the passes available to the public. I want to say they like, you know, 10 to 20,000, you know, tickets, you know, were sold. Kids can now attend. It wasn't like an 18 and older type of thing. And not that there was ever anything that demanded that, but it was just, you know, an industry type event that was, you know, who was in attendance, but then kids can attend and public could attend. And then, you know, a few years after that, that's when we get to kind of more modern times. And with COVID and everything, it was canceled and postponed, and then a digital version of it in 2021. And then now ultimately it's just gone and it doesn't seem to be coming back at all. So E3 ended, but as a kid of the 90s and seeing all the spectacle of what it was, you know, never really dreaming that I would be able to attend personally. And then ultimately, you know, having the amazing connections that my brother had and, you know, his resourcefulness, sneaking us in there and getting involved and being there, and then officially being able to just kind of be present. It's like awesome that I've been able to participate and be there for, you know, over 20 years ago, almost, till, you know, up until one of the later, you know, quote unquote, like regular standard E3s. But it's always been good memories. And I always enjoyed my time that I got to spend, you know, being there and seeing all that stuff. Like, you know, years later, I think about it, like all of those games, it's nice to see them in advance and, you know, not, like before they were officially released, but ultimately everybody got to play those games. They were ultimately all officially released, and you know, you didn't get anything special by being there, but just, you know, something, you know, I'm wired in a way that like I really appreciate like a chance to be able to be there and, you know, standing next to a kiosk to play like Chrome Hounds before it was released on the 360, and talking to one of the people there and realizing that they were a developer, and, you know, being able to kind of like share thoughts and opinions or share my fandom or whatever it may be, not knowing if like that feedback was going to be taken into the game. Like that was just, you know, built for someone like me to really just like obsess over and enjoy. And I was just really happy that I got to be a participant of the E3 experience. So, yeah, that's all I got for this episode then. Just sharing some E3 memories. I've got you know, some good memories overall. And if you were ever able to, you know, be present and attend yourself, shout me a message or shoot me a message on social media at Darren Hupke or at 32-Bit Library on most places. You can find me. And again, if you're a supporter through Patreon and you're getting this bonus podcast that way, thank you so much for your support. If you're listening to this for free as well, like if this was released onto the main feed as a preview for you of what you can get, this is, you know, I plan to release like one episode a month for free for folks, but I do this weekly. So you can get episodes like this where I kind of ramble on about thoughts and memories and stories. I do things like top 10-ish lists from various consoles. I've ranked, you know, my favorite Tony Hawk games and Metal Gear Solid games, just various things. So if you're a fan of Pixels and Polygons, thank you so much for listening to this as a bonus. And head over to the Patreon page to see if there's anything further you'd like to participate in and be a part of. Like I said, the writing and articles and things that I post there, those are all free. This podcast is just the paid bonus if you are a Patreon supporter. It's like $4 or $5 or so. So yeah, if you're considering it, thank you so much. That's all I got. Next week, we will have another new episode. This weekend, I'll be at the Portland Retro Gaming Expo selling 32-Bit Library Volume 4 and the other volumes, but it's the official release weekend for 32-Bit Library Volume 4. So you'll be able to pick those up in person from me and get first hands on, like, look at it. If you weren't a Kickstarter backer, you should already have it if you were. And other than that, that's it. Enjoy your week. See y'all next week. Bye.